You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Good morning to you. It's the Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio, brought to you by Mercedes-AMG Driving Perfection, along with the legend LeVar Arrington.
What's up?
Who I would guess, LeVar, this may be, I have to go back and check through the annals of all, like, fill-ins for Dan Patrick. I would think we're the only two guys to ever appear on the Dan Patrick Show as athletes and guests, and now as guest hosts.
How about that? Right? History, like, baby.
Yeah. I mean, I was on, like, once, like, as a college hooper. You were on, like, all the, anytime they could get a hold of. Did you have a good Christmas?
It was great, man. It was good. It was relaxing. It was peaceful. I enjoyed it. A lot of fire. You know, I was looking at the fireplace quite a bit. A lot of fire.
Well, you have to say a lot of fire. You have to go. Well, I was watching the fireplace. There is something relaxing about the fireplace. By the way, if you're joining us outside of Southern California,
if you're joining us,
yes. If you're joining us outside of Southern California, you're like, okay, why are these guys talking about the weather? Because it actually poured last night, pouring rain last night. Very, very weird, which means there'll be snow in the mountains and look beautiful in a couple of days. In the meantime, that's kind of what we're dealing with, which is not a big deal to anybody in the rest of the country. But to us, it's a little different. Anyway, LeVar, let's start with where we finished last night in the NFL. Coming into the season, where were you on Aaron Rodgers?
I was high on Aaron Rodgers. I actually picked the Green Bay Packers to go to the Super Bowl. I thought this would be one of those in-your-face years for Aaron Rodgers. I could just tell by his mentality after the drafting of Love. And, yeah, so I was high on him coming in.
Okay, so obviously right now you're patting yourself on the back. Like last night, so Tennessee comes in, snow game.
Yes.
And if there's one thing that is that, what's the the nemesis to the Green Bay Packers, it's the team that can run the football, keep Aaron Rodgers off the field. Now, look, we saw San Francisco. It's a different style of run game. But last year in the NFC Championship game, they just dominated the game. We saw it actually twice last year when they played. A couple times this year, they've struggled to stop the run.
You got it.
How much does last night change your perception on what they can? I mean, obviously you had them going to a Super Bowl, but anyone is reasonable and like, all right, there's matchups. That does last night change anyone's perspective on
it
the Packers?
It definitely should, because I actually had Tennessee winning the game. I felt as though their running attack just the elements alone, even though it was in Lambeau Field, Green Bay, I felt as though Tennessee would be too physical for Green Bay. I thought that Aaron Rodgers would have a game, but I thought that Tennessee would be too physical, and by game's end, they would have worn them down, and we would have saw Tennessee, in effect, in essence, dominate them physically to get the win in what I thought would be an ugly game. But you should change the way that you're looking at this Green Bay team as a whole. Their defense proved that they could stand up under the pressure of a heavy, hard-nosed, Mike Vrabel-led team. And Aaron Rodgers is continuing to be Aaron Rodgers. He does not look like he's slowing down. He's protecting the ball. He's on some straight-up, like, body counts with the way he's playing the game. I was more impressed with what they did last night. They had three running backs. I mean, Dylan, where's he come from, right? He's like the third back on the depth chart, and I think he had the most rushing yards out of all of the Green Bay Packer backs. And Aaron Jones is the guy. I'm thinking it's an Aaron Jones, Henry matchup, and it turns out to be a Dylan, Henry matchup. So I thought it was a pretty awesome game, and you definitely have to look at the Green Bay Packers as a threat to knock off the Kansas City Chiefs if they keep playing the way that they're playing.
LeVar Arrington, Doug Gottlieb in for Dan the Danettes here on the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio. Here's the thing is it's interesting. You called it at the time and said they were your team to make the Super Bowl. I called it at the time of the NFL draft. The people I talked to inside the NFL were like, the Jordan Love pick actually makes a ton of sense because he's really 2 years away from being anywhere close to ready. And There was great value in that selection. And then, you know, in the second round, well, you didn't take a wide receiver then. Well, they took A.J. Dillon. And obviously you look at the 124 and the two touchdowns yesterday, and that helps you. He hasn't had that type of season. But if you know, Aaron Jones, his contract is up. He already has, you know, Drew Rosenhaus is now his representation, which that happened like 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Anyone who knows, like, look, Drew is a very good agent. His job is simply to get his client the most money. And I think most people think he's not getting the most money in Green Bay. At least traditionally, that's how that franchise, outside of with their quarterbacks, rolls. Mm-hmm. So this is further confirmation that franchise gets it. And while people may say, well, they drafted a guy who's not even playing, I do think there's a benefit of it does motivate Aaron Rodgers, right? Like, a motivated Aaron Rodgers is a good Aaron Rodgers. Like, he's better when he's uncomfortable, when people rattle him a little bit. But I don't think that's the only reason they drafted him. I think you look at Roethlisberger, at Philip Rivers, at Drew Brees, and at some point, Father Time's going to catch up with you. And they're not saying it's right now. They're saying we got to prepare in the next couple of years for the eventuality of that. And if not, Jordan still has a great, he's still going to have value of a first round pick to turn around and trade it, because no one's actually seen him play, right? Like, Jordan Love right now is still a brand new car. As long as no one drives him off the lot, he retains most of his value. Now, the second somebody drives him off the lot, he throws a pick, like, final week of the season, next week, he goes and gets in. I don't think they'll even let him get in. But once he plays, that could change it. I got it. I understood it. And I think a lot of people in the NFL did as well. And, you know, maybe Devontae Adams, I mean, how does, you got to help me out. You were a great defense player. How is Devontae Adams always open? And he's sometimes not even open and Rodgers throws him open. How is it possible one guy can be so incredibly dominant and a team cannot stop him?
Well, you unloaded a lot right just then. I'll start with Devontae. I think his footwork is probably the best in the game. Between him and DeAndre Hopkins, with his route running ability, I just think the understanding of how to use his feet, the development of skill with Devontae is phenomenal. And it, you know, when you have a little bit of time and a player has an opportunity to exercise their body control and their movement and their footwork, it's amazing to watch, because they always seem like they're open. Yeah. Travis Kelce is a lot like that as well. He just keeps moving his feet. He keeps finding the pockets and the holes in the defenses, and they just have a great relationship with the guys that are delivering the ball to them. So it's really something that it's like effort. You think of Rip Hamilton, right? And people are like, why is Rip Hamilton always open and available to shoot those threes? You know why? Because his footwork, his movement, his willing to outwork the defender was what gave him a real opportunity to get to that swing, run through the low pick, get to that edge, get the ball, bam, and deliver a shot. So I feel the same way about some of these guys like Devontae Adams and Travis Kelce. But when you look at the draft and what you said about, you know, Love and people feeling as though that was a great move, and it makes sense because maybe in 2 years, this, that, and the other. Well, I look at it a little differently. When I look at Aaron Rodgers was not motivated by them not taking the pick and using it on someone else and using it on a quarterback. I think Aaron Rodgers was motivated by the fact that he already was dealing with issues coming out of the Mike McCarthy era and going into the LaFleur era and what that looked like in season one. So a lot of people felt as though the relationship would deteriorate so quickly between the new coach and Aaron Rodgers because of Aaron Rodgers' quirky personality. But in fact, they were one game away from making it to the Super Bowl.
Right.
So then now you're saying, oh, well, they have no talent, da-da-da, this, that, and the other. They got to get another guy. They don't have enough weapons. There's some question marks on the defensive side of the ball. You didn't address directly a need for your team. And so when you look at conventional wisdom as it's historically connected to top draft picks, round one draft picks, you don't use a number one draft pick on a guy you're not going to use. That's just rule of thumb. That's like
That's what the Green Bay Packers did. That's how they got Aaron Rodgers. There's a similarity there.
It's not a wise decision to you when you are that close to being a Super Bowl contending team and you know you have immediate needs you need to fill. You bring in a guy that can contribute to your team immediately.
They're not drafting in the top five or the top ten of the draft.
But
they're
it's first round. It's first okay. round. What was it? 20 what?
Well, they moved up, I think, to 24.
24. You know who was still on the board when they took him?
Who?
DK Metcalf. Like, think about that.
No,
like,
DK Metcalf was the year before.
Was it the year before?
Yeah, DK Metcalf. He's not a rookie, right? So yeah, so
right. Well, no, hold on.
They could have.
Yes. I'm off. There was a receiver. I'm off on a receiver.
No, what's his name from with the Cincinnati Bengals was available. T. Higgins was available. So, and T. Higgins is having a great year with Cincinnati.
But
guess what? The Green Bay Packers are going to have home field advantage in the playoffs. Okay, they won 13 games, actually 14 if you count the playoffs last year. It's like we're sitting here Monday morning quarterbacking. No rookie. You know, could a wide receiver have helped? Like, I guess, but that would have meant, Marquez Valdez-Scantling gets less reps.
Could you have gotten a defender? Could you have gotten somebody who was going to make your team better?
Yes, I think defense is a place of need, okay? But, I mean, like, look, is there defense better this year than it was last year?
It's around the same.
Okay. Is there offense that much better than it was last year? We're sitting here going, they could have been better. But they're going to have the number one seed in the NFC. How much better could they have been?
I do not disagree with your reasoning, but what I will say is you don't know what you're lacking until you get to that moment of truth of where a team does what the San Francisco 49ers were able to do to them in the NFC Championship game.
No question, but is one defensive player
yes.
at the end of the first round
possibly
enough to change that?
I mean, yes. Yes, I would say yes. You know, when you look at the ability of some of these young guys that are coming out later in the drafts, maybe even early second round guys, they are much more equipped to have immediate impacts on teams, and we're seeing that. And listen, at the 22nd pick, 20s in the 20s altogether, early 20s to mid 20s, there are still some game changing talents at that space. I'm not splitting kings in a blackjack game, Doug. Like I'm just not. I'm going to stay with the 20s. I'm not going to split them because that's what the book says to do. And even though they may have had that moment where they took Aaron Rodgers while they still had Brett Favre and they took him with a first-round draft pick, I understand that now you have enough of a backstory to say, well, we can justify doing it.
Yeah, yes.
But I think the reality that exists here is it was offensive to Aaron Rodgers. It was offensive to the players on the staff. It was offensive to the fans. It was offensive. And if it's offensive, you got to address it. And it can't just be left at, well, Aaron Rodgers plays better when he's uncomfortable. I think that when you look at the dynamic of how this could have played out, if you don't have Aaron Rodgers handle things the way that he did, things could have fell off of a cliff, right? The worst thing a coach can do is lose belief from his coaches, from his players. You don't want to do that. Like, you look at what happened in Houston. That team is still, personnel-wise, they still have pretty much the entire type of team that got Bill O'Brien to the point of where he was able to take control of making decisions for the team, and they fell apart. And they fell apart because the decision-making with the DeAndre Hopkins deal, I think that was the nail in the coffin. But to put yourself in a position where you could lose – the buy-in and the belief of the most important piece to your team. I mean, you tell me. That's got to be one of the most tremendous risks that this organization has taken, probably since taking Aaron Rodgers. So on the flip side, it's a good thing because it's working out. But in the immediate, I didn't think that it was a great idea.
All right, that's LeVar Arrington. By the way, this is Aaron Rodgers talking about the Packers and where they are right now.
I feel good about where we're at. It's tough to play in the cold. You know, it's tough to play in Lambeau. I think we proved that tonight. Thought the defense played outstanding. Offensively, we had great balance. You know, we ran the hell out of the ball. Guys were great up front, really good in the protection, and then Devontae did what Devontae's been doing.
That's Aaron Rodgers. We're going to talk about playing in the cold because everybody, if you're gonna win the NFC, you're gonna go through two places now. You go through Arrowhead, and you're gonna go through Green Bay. We'll talk about that as the show goes on. But coming up next, we're gonna take you to Pittsburgh. An incredible comeback from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Not just in that they came from down 24-7 down to beat the Indianapolis Colts at home yesterday, but also they were on the brink of a four-game losing streak. Take you inside the Pittsburgh locker room. How big was yesterday's win? You'll find out next with LeVar Arrington. I'm Doug Gottlieb. But first, ever wonder just how far an extra mile really goes? Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out. They offer a variety of vans, like the durable Mercedes-Benz Sprinter or the versatile Mercedes-Benz Metris. Each is tailored to match your work and or play lifestyle, with options like blind spot assist and active lane keeping assist, plus MBUX voice command technology for directions, weather forecasts, comfort control, and more. Now, what better way to go the extra mile than in your very own upfitted Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van? You could win by entering the Fox Sports Radio's Ultimate Tailgate Rig Sweepstakes. Just head to foxsportsradio.com or danpatrick.com to enter and get official rules for a chance to win the Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van equipped with TVs and wood pellet grills. Get all the information and entry details at foxsportsradio.com or danpatrick.com. Sweepstakes ends January 24th, 2021. Mercedes-Benz vans, some equipment described is optional.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Doug Gottlieb, LeVar Arrington, in for Dan and the Danettes. The Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Hope you had the merriest of Christmases. Getting ready for the happiest of New Year's. We'll have Monday Night Football tonight. We'll talk some Patriots and Bills. Kind of fascinating what's happened with the Bills. People are buying into Josh Allen as an elite-level quarterback upcoming. Plus, got to talk some cold-weather football with LeVar Arrington, who played a lot of cold-weather football in college and professionally, and what that's actually like, because it looks cool on TV, but what's it actually like to play cold-weather football? But I want to first talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers, okay? So, LeVar, heading into the game with Indy, one in which they're down 21-7 at the half, and 24-7 at one point in time in the third quarter. What were your thoughts on the Steelers and how much of their issues were fixable?
I felt as though where the Steelers currently sit, that they were in trouble there, and the trouble was going to stem from, key injuries, like losing Bud Dupree.
Yep.
The key that might have been the biggest key injury that probably has taken place in recent days for the Steelers. But I just felt as though this was a team that was struggling to find a rhythm, Doug. And you can be a good team that is off balance and off rhythm, out of rhythm. And when you're out of rhythm, it can look really bad. So it continued to look really bad early on for this Steelers team. And I think J.J. Watt, I heard a quote, read a quote from J.J., and I thought he was spot on. It just seemed like a team that wasn't playing with the amount of energy and just excitement that was necessary and needed for them to be able to compete and win as still a top-rated team. And once they did, once they decided to just come out and play, like win, lose, or draw, we're just going to have fun. We're going to play with intensity. We're going to let it go, and we're going to play for one another. It changed. and things started happening for them. They saved their season in a lot of ways yesterday by coming back into that game the way that they did, because that Colts team is a really, really fine football team. And not to mention, Doug, their defense, that was not a game that was going to be in favor of the way this Pittsburgh Steelers team has been playing. So for them to dig, not only dig out of or go into a game knowing that they were about to make history, a team starting the season at 11-3 has never lost four straight, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you get down as far as you do against a daunting defense, that's a stingy defense, and you're able to come back and crawl out and climb out of that hole to win that game. That says a lot about the character of that team, and it makes you have to question, you know, was that a catalyst for them to try to get things back on track at this late of an hour?
All right, let's bring in a guy who's a legend. If you know anything about Steeler football, you know Ed Bichette, because he's covered the team since 85, now covers them for The Athletic. He's kind enough to spend some time with us here on the Dan Patrick Show with LeVar Arrington. I'm Doug Gottlieb. And Ed, it's 24-7. It ain't looking good. They still can't run the football. And then Ben Roethlisberger kind of rediscovers what everyone had thought was his ability to throw the football down the field and do so accurately. How important was yesterday's comeback win in your mind as a guy who's covered this team for the better part of the last four decades?
Doug, it was big and for many reasons, the biggest, Big Ben. You know, people were questioning his arm, questioning whether he had enough time to throw. And I think he answered a lot of those yesterday. We've been watching him all season. I saw nothing wrong with his arm other than maybe a lack of accuracy that he has had before. And they're a mysterious refusal to throw the intermediate and deep routes. You know, they kept going to that short stuff, even when it was being slammed right back in their faces. And yesterday in the second half, all of a sudden they go, boom. And, you know, you won't see a better throw than that 39-yard touchdown pass he threw Johnson.
I mean, like,
50
listen,
yards in the air.
Oh, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, we saw him last night. I mean, his accuracy is ridiculous. But, I mean, Ben threw a couple balls, which are like, holy, where's this been all year?
it's like they decided before the season that he's coming off elbow surgery, he's 38 years old, we have to protect him. And we're going to do that by throwing a lot of short passes. And they were working early on, but then defenses adjusted. And not only did they adjust, they ganged up on the line of scrimmage, and that not only stopped those short passes, it stopped the run. They were batting his passes down at the line of scrimmage because they knew they were going to come out quick and they weren't going to get to him, so they put their hands up. But yesterday you could just see the defense loosen up once he started hitting those longer ones. And it doesn't have to be 50 yards. You know, he hadn't been throwing the 25, 30-yard ones with any consistency. Now it opens up everything for them, I think.
Ed, you mentioned something very important there with what you just said. It loosened the defense up. A lot of the observations I've had watching Ben is his ability to extend plays and have the strength to deliver the ball downfield with that strong arm. I think it's more so his escapability at this point that has to be more in question. When you look at some of the things that he has to do, I feel as though he has maybe masked at times that he hasn't been protected as well as he could be with his ability to lengthen plays. Is that possibly a pinpoint of why maybe this late struggle, or as I said earlier, out of rhythm as an offense could be, you know, what's taking place? The defenses have been tight. They've been coming. They've been aggressive. And it's thrown off the rhythm.
You can see it. You could see it earlier. Even in the first half, LeVar, yesterday, he wasn't following through. He wasn't stepping into his throws. The one throw he was really bad. He threw off his back foot. You know, they're just going to have to go back to, you know, dial it back to 2018 if you have to, when he was leading the league in everything. And just, you know, have him do more of that. If you can't protect them, well, then you can't protect them. But you're not going to win throwing 3-yard passes all day. Defenses aren't going to let you.
Ed Bichette joining us from The Athletic, covering the Pittsburgh Steelers. If you know anything about Pittsburgh Steelers football, you know Ed Bichette is no one questions his sources, his opinions, because he's seen all the good and some of the bad from the Steelers since 1985. Ed, thanks so much for joining us. I got to get to the defense, because as LeVar pointed out, I mean, look, they lost Devin Bush early on in the season. Then you lose Bud Dupree, and suddenly what was a dynamic pass rush feels kind of ordinary. I know we want to give a ton, rightfully, of the credit to the offense for coming back and throwing the ball down the field, but did you see anything from the defense which gave you more hope after some lackluster performances since Dupree went down for the season?
Yeah, Doug, you know, Alex Highsmith is a rookie, a third-round pick from Coastal Carolina, and he has replaced Bud Dupree. You weren't expecting a whole lot out of him because he's a rookie, third-round pick, hasn't played, you know, all that stuff. But I thought he's been coming on a little bit, and I thought he had a really good game. He had a lot of pressures on Phillip Rivers yesterday, and that would be a big plus for them, because they weren't only missing those two you mentioned. The guy who replaced Bush, Robert Spillane, he's out to the end of the year with a knee injury. Vince Williams missed a couple games on COVID. He's their big run stopper inside. They were losing people. They lost Joe Hayden for a game because of a concussion up in Buffalo, and that hurt them. I know all teams have injuries, but, they have lost two of their best in Bush and Dupree. But they're still a good enough defense, I think, that if the offense produces, you know, they were scoring 24 points at least every game until they hit this skid, and then they couldn't get 20. If they produce, it's a good enough defense. Still is.
Ed, I want to take one more question on the offensive side of the ball, and more specifically about Juju Smith-Schuster. I'm from Pittsburgh, so I get how we are as fans. We could be some of the most – we are the most loyalist fan, probably the best fan base in all of sports. Some may say Dallas. I don't get it, but it is what it is. But we can also be the biggest detractors once we're turned off. And looking at some of the things that, you know, maybe Juju has been beloved for, almost turned into a distraction and a maligning. And I can't even imagine how some of the old heads, the football purists in Western Pennsylvania, view dancing on logos before the game and doing TikTok videos. I mean, it's got to have, you know, coaching legends on all levels in the area, you know, pulling their hair out and just making sure they're messaging their players saying that this isn't how it's done. But yet and still, Juju Smith-Schuster is a very, very bright spot for that team. Just tell me, how much has that played a part in maybe – you know, how this offense is being looked at, and do you think that he has, you know, since coming out saying he's going to stop doing that, do you think that he understood the elements of what that may have been bringing and causing for them to be able to compete in the game?
I think Mike Tomlin explained that to him this past week. LeVar, he had a talk with him, and then Juju said he wasn't going to do it anymore. It didn't go over well here, but he's still a popular player here. You know, he's a tough kid. He reminds me a little bit, and this, I'm not being original here, of the way Hines Ward played.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, he will fight for extra yards. He'll bang his head into others if he has to get those yards. He's a good receiver, catching the ball. He's not anymore an explosive guy like he was his first couple years when Antonio Brown was on the other side and they were ignoring Juju. Mm-hmm. But he's a good possession guy, and he is still very popular here. He's done a lot of things here in the community and everything, and I think people are overlooking that now that he's stopped it.
Okay.
Yeah, he pick up $25,000 in people's layaways? Like, he does so many,
right.
He has so much positive equity that I don't think it doesn't come from a place of malice. right? That he's like, I'm actually, Ed, more interested in, you know, I look at the Steelers and, you know, they were very hesitant to use an early pick to get the heir apparent to Ben, right? Ben pushed back against him. They drafted Mason Rudolph, who, like, I'm an Oklahoma State alum. I love Mason, the guy. I didn't think he was going to be good enough, and to this point, he doesn't look like he is. But I look at Pittsburgh and their inability to – James Conner has been good but hasn't been as good this year, not all his fault, and he's been banged up. I look at Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh is the reason why Green Bay did what they did, right? That they had to get a guy for when Aaron Rodgers loses it, because at some point he will, and they had to get a guy for if Aaron Jones wants too much money, just like James Conner, they have an A.J. Dillon. Is that a fair parallel to say, if you look at Pittsburgh, that's why Green Bay did what they did?
Yes and no. I will come back at you like this, Doug. What if I was going to say Favre, because they have a history. You know, they got Aaron when they had Favre.
Go ahead.
What if Aaron plays another 3 or 4 years? And that's
okay, so you trade him.
Free agent.
So you trade him.
But
it never loses value.
You do lose your value, though.
No.
I meant to address that. Lose your value.
No, listen. Listen, guys, stick with me on this for a second. I understand what you're saying. Like, okay, maybe you – but, like, Josh Rosen lost his value because Josh Rosen played. If he doesn't play, right – No one knows if he can play. And by the way, the Green Bay Packers are never going to get in. They're not going to get, as long as they have Aaron Rodgers, not going to be in the top 10 drafting. They're just not, right? So all the best quarterbacks. And Jordan Love was seen as a developmental prospect, right? He's not losing his value. He's always going to be worth a late first round draft pick. I don't think, Ed and LeVar, I don't think you lose any value in it.
As long as
you don't drive that car off the lot, it still has value.
I would disagree. You drove him off when you drafted him. But go ahead.
If Aaron's been, you know, one of the great iron men of the game. If he doesn't play, how's anybody going to assess his value? You know, when it comes to that. But the Steelers had a long drought between Bradshaw and Ben, and I'm sure they don't want that to happen again.
Right.
But on the other hand, they keep drafting. You know, the 20s, late 20s in the first round. They did move up to get Devin Bush 2 years ago. But I don't know that sometimes you just can't plan on those things. You know, the Patriots didn't look like they planned for Brady's exit, and it didn't look like they planned.
No, they did. They did, and then Tom Brady is like, him or me, right? That actually is the perfect parallel, right? They had Jimmy Garoppolo. They had the heir apparent. And when they could have made the move then, Brady was playing so well that they then moved him. And they could have gotten a little bit maybe more value on it now, obviously, because of when and how they dealt him. But that's actually the perfect parallel. Like, they were prepared for this eventuality. They just didn't have the support of the ownership to make that move. And it won one more Super Bowl because of it.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, there's many ways.
The value's in the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, no, I'm not saying it was the wrong decision. I'm just saying that if we're looking for parallels in organizations that have been able to sustain success, the Steelers, when they lost Bradshaw, you know, I mean, they had the Bubby Brister years and the Tommy Maddox years and Cordell Stewart, they made it work with a slash for a couple years. Like, they were constantly searching for a quarterback to go with outstanding defenses and rosters, and then they finally found one with Ben Roethlisberger. And whereas the Packers, they haven't had the drop-off with Favre, with Aaron Rodgers, and they're just repeating that. And you look around the league, or you even look at Pittsburgh, what a great organization. But, it, you know, when Ben Roethlisberger wasn't playing well, there's no heir apparent. There's nobody in the pipeline. And the second he retires, they're back in kind of quarterback purgatory.
You know what, Doug? I would say if you look around at all the NFL teams, the ones with good quarterbacks, there's very few heir apparents behind them. Really, there really isn't. It just doesn't happen anymore with free agency and everything else. And it's a tough thing to do. And then there's ways, many ways to skin that cat. You know, you can try a trade, draft, a free agency. You know, I remember when the 49ers got Steve Young in a trade. You know, did they get lucky or did they get smart? We pointed out the Packers, but I don't know that there's very many teams around the league where there's a great quarterback and someone behind him ready to step in. Now, it looks like maybe San Diego is one of those teams that has done it.
Last thing, Ed Bichette joining
Chargers,
us from the
LA Chargers.
It's fine. I live in LA. Nobody calls me LA Chargers. last thing, does yesterday's win give you its hopes, or does it change your perspective on whether or not this team can get to a Super Bowl?
Oh, very much so, Doug. I mean, everybody was down here. You just couldn't understand, like I said, why they kept doing that offense the way they were doing it. And they kept doing it in the first half yesterday. I do a discussion while the game's going on The Athletic with fans, and there were many of them said, "Put Mason in." I mean, you've got to be kidding me. Yeah,
no.
But yeah,
no,
yeah,
that does. No, don't do that.
It was, that didn't come against the Jaguars. It came against a good Colts team, like you mentioned, and they'll rest guys now in Cleveland, and the next time you see their first team will be in the first game of the playoffs, and I think it bode well for them what they did yesterday. Mm.
Ed Bichette writes for The Athletic. Obviously, you can chat with him during games. He's just an absolute legend. At Ed Bichette on Twitter as well. Ed, you're the best. Happy New Year to you, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks, sir.
Thanks, Doug, and that yinzer you got with you.
Lamar.
That's right.
Nice.
Appreciate you.
Very much a term of endearment. Is Jalen Hurts, will stay in the state of Pennsylvania, is Jalen Hurts saving Doug Peterson's job? We'll discuss next on The Dan Patrick Show.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Doug Gottlieb, LeVar Arrington, in for Dan and the Danettes on the Dan Patrick Show. Doug Peterson told WIP in Philadelphia, "I fully expect to be the coach next season, and I welcome the opportunity to get things right and get things fixed and take this team into next season." Right, so he's saying, "I want to stay. I want to stay." And if you a snapshot of the first half, Jalen Hurts looked like the answer to all the problems of the Philadelphia Eagles, where they had they scored 17 points, or down 21-17 at the half. And then they went back to being the Philadelphia Eagles. And they're playing against a Cowboys team where their defense is much maligned, and yet the defense shut them down. Hurts throws two picks, looked very much like a rookie quarterback, and the pass that backup quarterbacks get, I assume he's still getting. Where are you on the Jalen Hurts experiment and what's going on in Philadelphia?
All right. Well, I think you mentioned goodwill built up for Juju in the last segment. I think there's enough goodwill built up for Doug Peterson to maintain his job, doing something that no other coach, including the much beloved, coach.
Andy Reid?
No. Coached the Rams, greatest show on turf, Dick Vermeil.
Yep.
There we go. I think when you look at the fact that he won a Super Bowl, brought a Super Bowl to Philadelphia, it comes down to the element of what I mentioned also before, the buy-in and the belief from the players. I think what Jalen Hurts provided, based off of my onlooking and my observations, it looks as though these players have a different amount of hope. I think they have a different amount of belief based around what Jalen Hurts brings to the table. So when I look at him having mistakes, throwing those interceptions, I believe that if you're in that game with Carson Wentz, you're not seeing the same type of approach, the same type of intensity, the same type of we're going to fight and we're going to claw to try to win this game because we're in this together. I've heard the stories around it, Doug. I've witnessed it as a player. If there's something that just isn't right about how they feel about Carson Wentz, and I think it becomes apparent when you see Jalen Hurts in the game. So I think he has bought himself time putting Jalen Hurts in, because that time is based off of what the players will say, you know, when they're in their interviews, what they're going to do as they're preparing for games. And I think that that's kind of, for me right now, on looking. That's probably the most important piece of this whole entire equation.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, I think the intangibles Jalen Hurts clearly has, right? He's what he has going for him is, one, he's got that personality, and that is so much a part of the position. And additionally, I think because his career played out so publicly at Alabama and then at Oklahoma, there's a lot of guys that they, even though he never played a down in the NFL until a couple weeks ago, right, as a starter, they know Jalen Hurts, they respect Jalen Hurts, and he carries himself like he walks in and there is absolutely starting quarterback confidence. My issue with Jalen Hurts is it's on display yesterday. He has the personality, he has the intangibles, he's just not that good a football player. Oh, he cannot throw progression reads in the pocket. Like, it's been the problem. When he was at Alabama, they hit a ceiling. When he's at Oklahoma last year, they hit a ceiling. And by midseason, they said, look, dude, if you don't see like what you see, just run it. And that works for a short period of time in the NFL. And then they keep you in the pocket, and then it doesn't work. So the problem is, can you combine his confidence, his leadership, with Carson Wentz, who has the tangibles, just doesn't seem to have the intangibles, right? Like, as you know, you ain't playing well at quarterback in the NFL unless all those guys believe in you, and it doesn't seem to be belief in him from all those guys. That's what you're pointing out,
yes.
Right? They you can't fool players. Like, they know if you lack confidence at that position, they're like, I'm not in. Hurts has all the confidence, has all their belief. He's just not that good. So I just don't know what you I don't know what you do.
I don't know that they believe that to be the sentiment, though. I think they do think he's that good and do believe he gives them an opportunity. So it's interesting because when you have different perspectives on people's games,
yeah,
from different people, it's always somewhere in there is probably the truth. I look at Jalen Hurts and what he's able to do, and I see his athleticism. I see his cool, calm, collected way of approaching what he's doing. I mean, whether he's a good player or not, you know, I think that still remains to be seen, because in the end, what bought him time is a signature win against a really, really talented New Orleans defense. And some would say you can't luck out and win a game like that in New Orleans as a rookie quarterback if you don't have a certain skill set to go along with what you're doing. And they were shorthanded. So to me, I'm not so much, I guess, going to go down the road of saying that he's not a good football player. But I think now the question becomes a belief factor from Doug Peterson as to what his plan is, Doug. Are you going to go with Jalen Hurts? That probably means you have to get rid of all that dead cap space that you're going to have if you're trying to get rid of Carson Wentz, because, I mean, the way he stated it out of his own mouth, he doesn't have any interest in being a backup. So are you going to put your belief in your future as a coach on Jalen Hurts' arm? Or are you going to say, we just needed to get out of this season. We got an opportunity to see what our young quarterback can do. Now we're going to go back to Carson Wentz. That now has an impact on Jalen Hurts. And it also has an extending impact to the players that have seemingly bought into the position switch. So I think Doug Peterson is in a very, very compromised position by the lack of success that they've had. And that's going to be the biggest defining factor of this entire deal, is what is your plan? Is your belief in Hurts, or is your belief in Carson Wentz? And if it's not in Wentz, then what are you going to do? Because that is a hefty price tag that's connected to Carson Wentz.
Right. It's like all NFL guys ever wanted was long-term guaranteed contracts.
And now you see why.
Right. And
you're going to think twice about playing me. Like, all right, you better put me on the bench or do something.
Yeah.
I'm cool either way.
Exactly. So, and then you're the owner. You're like, man, why would I sign up for one of these deals when if you end up stinking or losing your confidence – then
you're stuck.
You're stuck.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.